Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Then Joshua told the people, "Purify yourselves, and tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you."
Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass it on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them.
It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge,
the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan.
And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho.
Now the priests, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan.
They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground.
When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua,
"Now choose 12 men, one from each tribe. Tell them,
take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan.
Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight."
Then they camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up the 12 stones taken from the Jordan River.
Then Joshua said to the Israelites, "In the future your children will ask, 'What do these stones mean?'
Tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground,
where the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all crossed.
Just as he did at the Red Sea when he dried it up until we had all crossed over.
He did this so all the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful,
and so that you might always fear the Lord your God."
Hey, welcome to Chicago First Church. My name is Galen. I'm one of the pastors here. Thank you so much for being here today. And thank you to those of you, a part of the C1 family, who just read our scripture, which is really going to be our story that we're going to focus in on today, talking about moments and milestones. So thank you for being a part of it and reading our story for today. Really, this series, Moments and Milestones, wants to take a look at the different events and milestones that happen between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And if you think about it, it's really a kind of a short, it's 6-7 weeks, something like that. But there's a lot that happens in the midst of it. We celebrate moms, we celebrate dads, we celebrate graduations. Obviously, that's looking very different this year. We celebrate weddings and anniversaries. I had two friends that just got married actually yesterday, had to cancel their wedding due to COVID-19 and get married differently. So congrats to you, Matt and Zanette, who are in my life group. We're excited for you, celebrating with you. There's a lot that goes into this season. And really, the original thought behind this season was this. In these moments and milestones, which is normally a busy time, how could we slow down and not miss these moments or milestones, but to be able to focus in on God in the midst of this season? Slow down a little bit and ask ourselves, how can we grow closer to God? Now, obviously, ironically, we planned this before COVID-19, and for most of us now, we're forced into a season of a forced slowdown, shelter in place. And even if your pace of life isn't slower, even if it's faster, it's still a different kind of season. Your routines are different. Your meetings and relationships with people are different. We're all tired of Zoom at this point. It's different. And really, there's an opportunity that can be had here. This moment, this too shall pass, and it will be done and over with. But we have a window that we can do something different in this moment to grow closer to God, and so that others around us can see that as well. And today, really, the question I'm going to end with, and I'll ask you straight up front, is simply this. How do you want to remember this moment, this COVID-19? How do you want to remember this moment of time in 10 or 20 years? My prayer for us today is a psalm that Brian mentioned last week. I love this. "God, teach us to realize the brevity of life, how short it is, so that we may grow in wisdom." In the midst of this change in different time, we have an amazing opportunity to do things differently and maybe grow closer to God as a result. And today, really, all I'm going to do, I won't talk very long. I know pastors always say that, whatever. But I want to give you two thoughts and a question. And the first thought today is this. I want you to celebrate milestones and create memorials. The story we just read of the Israelites coming out of Egypt and then going into the Promised Land, and they crossed over the Jordan into the Promised Land, is the story I want to focus on, where they celebrate a milestone and create a memorial. Now, before we get there, you probably need to know, many of you, even if you didn't grow up in church, probably know the story of Moses and the plagues and the exodus out of Egypt. So they start in Egypt, and God says, I'm going to give you your own land. I'm going to lead you out of slavery and give you a land that I am promising to you. And that land is up in here. So they leave and they wander through the wilderness until they reach Mount Sinai. Here God meets them and he gives them the Ten Commandments. He enters into a marriage covenant with them. And they leave and they continue to wander through the desert. When they run out of water, God brings water from a rock. When they need food, God has manna appear on the ground every morning. What is this? It's a wafer. And even when they got tired of that, God gave them quail that just blew in from out of nowhere. And they continue their wanderings until they reach the doorstep of the Promised Land. And this is where our story picks up. Moses has died. He's been buried on a mountain, and Joshua is now the Lord's anointed leader of his people. And they're just about to cross over. And then he says, listen, God is going to do something amazing among you. The priests are going to carry the ark, the manifestation of God's presence with us. And when they put their sandals in the water, the walls are going to back up and there's going to be dry, or the walls of the water is going to stand up and there's going to be dry ground. And just like when we left Egypt at the beginning of this wandering, here at the end, God is going to close our season of wandering by doing the same miracle to let us know that he is still with us and he is powerful. And so the people walk across on dry land and they get to the other side. And it's here that Joshua says, okay, God's promise to us is to go and occupy this land. Jericho is the very first town. We're going to march around it. The walls are going to fall down. We're going to conquer this land because God has given it to us. But before they immediately jump into that, Joshua says, let's hit the pause button real fast. Let's slow down and recognize this has been a long time coming. God made us a promise. This will end and you will enter into the promised land. And now that God has put our feet into the promised land, let's pause and recognize the milestone that this is, that we have just crossed, that we have just finished. So he says, let's memorialize this moment. Let's grab these stones and make a memorial out of it. And the story goes like this. They were camped at Gilgal, just east of Jericho. It was here at Gilgal, and I know Gilgal is a weird city, you may not have heard of it, but I want you to remember it. It's going to be really important later. It was there at Gilgal that Joshua piled up 12 stones taken from the Jordan River. Then Joshua said to the Israelites, in the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, this is where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the river right before your eyes, and he kept it dry until you were all across, just as he did at the Red Sea when it dried up until we had all crossed over. He did these things so that the nations of the earth might know that the Lord's hand is powerful, and so that you might fear the Lord your God forever. Israel celebrated this milestone by creating a memorial. It was a reminder that God is with us and that he is powerful. You know, it's interesting, in the Old Testament, there's six different times God's people are prescribed a holiday. Celebrate this festival. And when you do, you're not just celebrating just to celebrate, but you celebrate to remember something by. Remember the story. And today I want to ask you a question. It's kind of foreign, maybe different for us, but the question is this. What would it look like for us to create memorials around our spiritual milestones so that we had an excuse to tell our story? You know, in our country, we have tons of different holidays that as a culture we celebrate. But as it pertains to you and your family, what if when God did something amazing in your life, you guys did something, you celebrated every single year, this is what God has done in my life. This was the milestone that we crossed because of God. Maybe it's the date you began a relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's the date that you were baptized and said, I'm going public with my faith. I'm all in. I'm following Jesus and I don't care who knows. Maybe it was the time where God answered your prayer for the house or the car or provided for you in a certain way. You'd say, this is the time where God was faithful to us. What if you could do something to memorialize it so that you could retell that story? You had an excuse to do so. What if we could begin to do this? An example right from our C1 family, just a couple weeks ago, some of you know Dave and Dee Everson. They've been around here for a while now. And Dee celebrated her 21-year anniversary. And it wasn't her anniversary to her husband, it was her 21-year anniversary of following Jesus, of asking for forgiveness and beginning this relationship and following him ever since then. And they said, you know what, we should celebrate this. And so just like the rest of us, they set up a Zoom meeting. I don't know if you're tired of people not knowing how to use the mute button or, you know, internet connections being unstable, but they said, this is how we're gonna celebrate our kids who live in different places. We're gonna get them on Zoom together. And at the time of the meeting that has been scheduled, they had food delivered to their kids' house. So they all jumped on together. They could see each other. They were eating together in some sense. And Dee shared this story. This, again, 21 years later, this is who I was. This is who I am today. And they celebrated that milestone together, I think is a beautiful picture. And really, I would say this. If you don't know a specific date for when you first started following Jesus or something, that's okay. And really, I would say, pick a date and begin to celebrate it every year again so you can tell your story. Think of it this way. Honestly, Christmas, December 25th, is probably not the day that Jesus was born. In fact, the Romans were the ones that set that date because it was convenient for them in their calendar, and we've celebrated it on that day ever since. And the date is not what's important here. It's the story behind it, because those stories have the power to influence us and change us. What if we could begin to celebrate these things together? And in the same way, and very similar, that we celebrate milestones and create memorials, I think that we should create moments that can become memories for ourselves, for our families, for those that we work with, and those around us. In the Old Testament, starting in the very beginning, one of the most important scriptures in the Old Testament for the Jewish people was this one, and it reminds us of this. Listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all your strength. I remember Jesus' words, this is the greatest commandment. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. And then he says this, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you are getting up. Essentially saying, create moments where you can share the stories, the promises, the events that happened in the Bible and in and among God's people. And actually, it continues on a little bit more. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. What would it look like for us today to create moments that could turn into memories for those around us? It says, tie them on your hands, wear them on your forehead. What if on your wrist you wore a bracelet that had a date on it? Somebody sees it, wow, that's a neat bracelet. Is that a date? What's that about? Actually, this was the day that I chose to begin to follow Jesus. You could tell your story. What if it was a cross or it was something similar in that matter? It says, do these things in your homes. Put them on your doorsteps. Put them on your gates. What could you do around your home that could teach your family God's word, or even teach or remind yourself of God's word? In my home, it looks something like this. My wife goes to Hobby Lobby, and they have signs with Bible verses on them. And she's like, hey, I think we should buy this. I just think it'd look perfect in the kitchen. The color scheme is perfect. It's the right size. I just think it would fit perfect right there. And I'm like, we don't need a sign right there. And she goes, oh, but Galen, it's a Bible verse. And don't you want your daughter to know that God is faithful? You can buy whatever you want. It's fine. That's good. What if we could put these things up in our home? And honestly, very specifically for us, what it's looked like for me in this last year was I wanted to develop a family mantra that even my kids, as young as they are, could begin to memorize and develop. This is the way that we live. So this is right above our dining room table, and you can now see the Hobby Lobby comments I was making, whatever. But this sign right here is our little family mantra. Be kind, do your best, and love like Jesus. So my daughter, who's not three yet, every morning we sit down for breakfast together, and as we eat, and at some point I say, "Hey Lillian, how do we live?" And I point up there, she can't read. I mean, she is special, but she can't read yet. She's way too young for that. But when I point to the sign, she knows exactly what I'm getting at, because we've done this again and again. And she looks at me in her little cute voice and says, "Be kind, do your best, and love like Jesus." And these are the kinds of moments that we want to create to ingrain them into the life of our family. I think of another couple who's in my life group. This is at the end of their hallway. It's a prayer clipboard. So as a family, when they want to pray for something, they write it down and they clip it to the prayer wall. Here's what's really cool. When God answers a prayer, they take it off the wall and put it in a jar. And then if they ever need to be reminded that God is faithful to them, they can go to that jar and pull out answered prayers and say, "Look what God has done for us. This is incredible." Honestly, when I looked at this photo too, I was like, oh, it's on a shiplap wall. Chip and Joanna Gaines definitely inspired that wall. But I think that's a great idea for us of creating moments that maybe one day can be memories for our kids, for our family, or for those around us. And really today you might ask, you know, why are you encouraging us to do all of these things? In the midst of COVID-19, there's so much other things going on. Why should we be focusing on these things? And really the answer is this. People are always watching how we will respond, especially in the midst of difficult or indifferent times. What if we are the people that create moments? What if we're the business people that do something differently than other businesses are doing? What if we're the family that intentionally goes out of our way to have relationships with other people? People will notice if we create these moments during this time, and they may just become memories for our kids and the future generations to remember how we lived in a difficult time and how they may be able to do the same thing. I want to show this to you through a story I'm guessing you've probably never heard before. Even if you grew up in church and Sunday school, this one didn't get shared much. It's not a PG-rated story. It's pretty different. You may not have heard it. It's from Judges chapter 3. It's a left-handed guy named Ehud. And it's not a long story, but Ehud is incredibly interesting. He was born either right before they crossed the Jordan River or right after that. So he would have grown up in the very next generation after Joshua being told the story. "Dad, why is there a pile of stones over there? Why can't I pick those up and throw them at my brother?" And he would have been responded, "Ah, let me tell you about those stones. When we moved here, God split the water," and they were able to share the story with him. He knew this story. He knew he had a memory of what God has done. And these stones represent God's power. Now, 18 years after this, God's people forgot him. They began to intermix with the culture around them. They stopped living for God. And because they did this, the Moabite king comes into Jericho, which they had conquered, and sets up his headquarters there. His name is Eglon. And now God's people have to pay tribute and tax money to him. So in Ehud's story, this is where we pick it up. He brought his tribute money, his taxes, to Eglon, the king. And I love this, who was very fat. Like, it's in the Bible. I didn't just add that in there. I think that's an interesting detail that maybe we didn't need to know, but I love the Bible sometimes, or always. After delivering the payment, Ehud started home with those who had helped carry the tribute. Now, this is really interesting. Watch this. But when Ehud reached the stone idols near Gilgal, he turned back. Now, do you remember, where did Joshua set up the stone monument memorial of how powerful God was? It was at Gilgal. So he's on his way home and he looks over, maybe remembering his childhood. "I was taught in my childhood, God is powerful. But now instead of seeing that memorial, I see these stone idols." You can't help but to see the irony. Where God's stones should have been, there's other stone idols that are basically saying, "We're the ones in power here. Your God has been forgotten." And I think Ehud and those traveling with him, I think Ehud probably stopped and he paused for a moment and he had a thought. Those stones should not be there. There's other stones that I know that should be there. Probably asked himself, when did we forget that God is powerful enough to help us? When did we forget that God is with us? When did we just become so okay and settle into being slaves to the culture around us? If God is powerful to help us, then the only chance that evil and darkness has against us is the power that we give it. When did we stop following God? It was a turning point for Ehud. He turned back and he goes back to the king because he knows who is in power. He knows who's enthroned. And he says, I have a secret message for you. So the king sends everyone out of the room and he gets up close to him. And the left-handed warrior goes to his right hand, pulls out his double-edged sword, gets the king, sneaks into the next room, slips out the sewer. It's a very dirty story. Goes back to the Israelite people and says, God is for us. Remember his promise. He has given us this land. The people rally around him and they conquer Jericho once again, just as God had intended. I want you to see something here. Just by setting up a few stones, telling a story. A story can become a memory. This is who we are. This is the promise we've been given. This is who God is. That the next generation, when they remember that, will choose to act differently and it becomes a movement. Joshua's moment and his milestone, he sets up a memorial. Because of the memorial, there's a memory. And because of the memory, there's a movement of God, of what God had intended to accomplish all along. This is why we need to create these moments. This is why we need to celebrate these milestones in this way. So the two thoughts I've given you today, let me simply ask you the question I want to challenge you with. How do you want to remember this moment in 10 to 20 years? Think about it. When you're 20 years older or 10 years older from right now, how old will you be? And much in the same way you may look back and remember 9/11 today, how will you remember COVID-19? Will it be a season of, oh man, I was at home just waiting for it to be over? Or may it be a season where you said, in the midst of waiting, I decided to take decisive action to do something different, to love God and love other people. And that was a very different season for me. To my retired friends, I'm not 100% sure what you're doing with your time right now. I don't know if you're watching the Andy Griffith TV show. I don't know if that was insensitive. Hopefully not. I'm just not 100% sure what you watch on TV. You can put in the comment section if that's true or not true. Sorry if that offended you. But maybe instead, we could turn off the screen. And maybe you would choose to write, I'm going to write 10 letters a day. I'm going to write those to those that are younger than me. I'm going to write those to my friends. I'm going to write them to a generic person, maybe drop them off at the nursing home. And those that work there know who's the most isolated. Maybe that could encourage them. For younger people, maybe we could put down our phones. Maybe we could log out of Netflix. Pastor Matthew, do you really need to watch Gilmore Girls for the fourth time? I don't think you do. And truth be told, I keep coming back to the topic of screens in this time because a study that was produced this week shows that people are watching 5 more hours of screen time per day. It's not 5 hours, but 5 more hours than they did before. And I get it, like putting on Frozen 2 for the second time this week to entertain my daughter while I can get something done. Like I get it and I'm with you. Yet at the end of the day, let's not let our screens simply pacify us or satisfy us. Let us be more productive relationally and care more about our neighbors and meeting the needs of those who really need it more than we care about the next episode. So young people, maybe 4 times a week, just an idea, you sit in the 30-car line at Starbucks, and you get coffee and you deliver it to someone that you know is isolated, someone that may be looked over, simply to say, I see you, I notice you, and I'm here for you in whatever way that looks like. Or at the least, take this caffeine. I know your 3 kids are driving you crazy. Families, maybe this is the time for you to create new rhythms and patterns in your life, to create moments where you can teach your kid who they are and whose they are in the midst of a different schedule. And for all of us, at the end of all of this, whatever it is, I want us to look back and to be able to say, this was the time I actually walked across the street and got to know my neighbors. This was the time I turned off the screen and dove into God's word and found out how much he loves me and how important and good this is for my life. This was the time I spent extra time in prayer saying, God, would you reveal your purpose and your plan for my life? And I felt God speak to me in a new way. Because this is a different season, let's change our routines and draw closer to God than maybe we ever have before. We will remember this time simply because of how different it is. So what will you remember? Create milestones. Create memorials. Create moments that become memories. And it will change your life and maybe the life of the generations to come. Maybe God wants to use you to encourage other people. And in by doing so, find encouragement yourself during this season. Maybe God will use what you do to change your story, someone else's story, and the story of generations to come. Would you pray with me? God, we are thankful for your faithfulness. We are thankful for your story. God, we thank you that your promises are true and you are who you say you are. You love us no matter who we are, no matter where we are. God, I thank you for the moment that we have been given in this time. God, for those that need encouragement, encourage them in these times. Help us, use us as Chicago First Church to meet the needs of our community and those around us. May we be a light on a hill for those in our community. God, let us create moments in this time. May we do things intentionally, and I trust that as we draw close to you, you will in turn draw close to us, and we will see you and grow closer to you in a way maybe we've never experienced before. We love you, Jesus. We pray all of this in your name. Amen. Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.